The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. So it's New Year's Day. And Reverend Master Hario, the head of our order, sent out a nice New Year's message to us. Advice from the Buddha. Set your heart on doing good. Do it over and over again and you will be filled with joy. I thought, yes. It sounds so simple and it's really profound. I'm always talking about this, but I'm doing it again. Set your heart on doing good. When we set our heart on something, it means we really want it more than anything else. I've got my heart set on such and such. We make a concentrated effort for that thing. Setting our heart and doing good doesn't mean a kind of a striving. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do good. You know, it's not like that. It doesn't work. We're not necessarily looking for good things to do. Sometimes it's good to say, well, you know, I've retired. Maybe I'd like to help beings. I'd like to maybe do some volunteer work or I make offerings to charity or whatever it might be. And that doing good in that way, of course, but we're not just getting out there being a me doing good, you know. Because really what we're talking about is the wish to go do good as it comes our way. There are a million opportunities to actually do good, you know. Sometimes it's just not doing something that is not good, you know. Retorting angrily when somebody yells at us or doesn't like what we just did. You know, just to be patient forbearance is actually doing good because we're not doing the not good thing, you know. Choosing the path of goodness. What is good? What is best to do here? Sometimes we have an opportunity to help somebody. It just comes our way. And sometimes it's better to just stay out of it and let them be, not interfere. But often, you know, oh, I can just help here or say a kind word or do something that's good. It's not trying to be a good person. It's not a me trying to be something. It's not a me trying to be anything at all. We're not trying to be perfect, some perfect person or some perfect, you know, thing. We're just trying to see what's best to do. Sit still, see what's best to do, and do it. Stillness, you know, not rushing off trying to do good deeds. Not being a me doing good deeds. Well, it's not just doing good actions or speaking kindly, although we want to do those things. It also means thinking kindly of other beings, seeing their good qualities, not just the things that annoy us. When somebody really, you know, gets up our nose, as it were, not to just keep seeing them irritating us, but see their good qualities. Well, yes, they're like this, but look at the other things they do. Look at their generosity. Look at their kindness. And maybe there's something in myself that just gets annoyed and doesn't need to be annoyed. It's not them, actually. It's me being annoyed. It's not them. Generosity of heart and mind. No. To set our heart on doing good is to keep coming back to our wish to do what's good, to keep to the precepts. I mean, keep to the precepts. We're doing what is good. We don't go out looking for precepts to keep. They come up quite naturally. We trip over them all the time. I think I'll go and keep a precept, you know. It's ridiculous. They just arise naturally in our life. And that's what it is, really. Just what's good to do here? How do I keep the precepts here? And as we know, those of us who've taken the precepts, they become part of our life, part of our blood and bones, as they say. They underlie our choices. When we decide what's good to do here, what's the best thing, what's not going to do harm, what's kind, ceasing from evil, doing only good, doing good for others. That becomes our compass, as it were. It's what we set our heart on. It's that which guides our actions and our lives. And the Buddha says, set your heart on doing good and do it over and over again. We don't keep just do it once. We keep on doing our best to do what's good, to keep to the precepts. And not get discouraged just to keep on doing it. Even if it seems to be not what other people are doing, or not what they expect of us, not the popular thing, but to do, no, this is best to do, this is what I'm going to do. To keep on doing good, over and over again. Taking refuge in the Sangha, sometimes we're deluded, and we're doing what we think is good, and actually we're not helping at all. So always to be aware of other people, and to sit still and say, well, what's best to do here? To keep on doing it over and over again. The Litany of Maitreya, quite long, we sang it today. These endless descriptions of huge numbers of beings helping other beings, you know, training themselves in different ways. These are the great bodhisattvas, helping countless beings for endless eons of time, over and over, it says, for oceans of time, giving rise to boundless oceans of great vows, and in this way, passing through oceans of time. It sounds a long time, you know. Spending eons with a single being or in a single country to help beings, knowing neither fatigue nor disinterest for immeasurable countless eons. How do they do that, you know? It's exhausting even to think about it. How do they keep on doing what is good over and over and over again, endlessly? How do we do that? How do we do our best? We don't have to be great big bodhisattvas, you know, with these huge immeasurable vows. But we can aspire to do some of what they do. We're not just singing this for the good of our health. We're singing this because it gives us an example of turning the heart to what is good, setting your heart on doing good over and over again. All these different ways, spending time with a single being, having compassion for beings and trying to help them out of their suffering, all the different myriad ways in which these great bodhisattvas try to help beings endlessly, immeasurably, throughout eons of time and oceans of worlds. Pretty big. But how do we do this, keep on doing it over and over and over again? And not getting fatigued or disinterested. We get fatigued, but not losing heart. Just to keep on doing it, no matter whether it seems to be helping or not, but to trust that it is actually helping, that we try to do our best, try to do what is good in this Saha world, which is not the easiest one. Well, it's the Buddha's promise. If you keep on doing your best, keep on, set our heart on doing good, do it over and over again, we will be filled with joy. And so what really is joy? Recently I was doing some talks for the monks. I thought, I'll do a talk on joy. Well, it ended up being three talks on joy. It just seemed to be a big subject. And we don't talk about it a whole lot, but recently it seems like it keeps coming up because there seems to be so much suffering in this world. It is nice to look to joy now and then, or to aspire to joy. So what is it really? Well, there's joy in little moments of connection with somebody, little moments of good-heartedness, little moments of warmth. And it's also a way of living our life, to live a life of joy, of contentment, of knowing I'm doing the best that I can. I make mistakes, yes, and yet to keep on setting the heart to do what is good, to aspire to that, to have that lodestone, that compass, to do what's best, that we keep coming back to make it our blood and bones, to keep coming back to doing what is truly good. You can't plan for joy. I'm going to have some joy now. If you try to get joy, it's not going to work. But if you try to give joy to other beings, you get joy yourself, you know. It's true, we know it is true. And it's not just an emotional kind of thing. I feel nice and warm and fuzzy because I did this thing. Yes, that's nice. It's nice. But it's deeper than that. It's relinquishing our self-concern and thinking of other beings and helping other beings. If we think about it, all the things that counteract joy, all the forms of selfishness, stress, anxiety, you know, all the things, mostly they're all about me and my worries and problems and stuff. But if we can kind of relinquish that, or just get outside that a bit, relinquish our self-concern and think of other beings, help other beings, this brings us joy. But we're not doing it to get joy. We're doing it because it's good to do. to set our heart on doing what is good, and then joy can come to us. It's not a happy, I'm lovely, I'm happy, I'm all the time. It's not like that. Or we can be miserable, and yet, underneath all that, there is this joy and knowing that we're trying to do the best we can, even when we mess up, even when we create suffering unintentionally. Ugh, you know, or we do something stupid out of selfishness. We do that. Then we're ripped out of joy, as it were. But it's still, there's that aspiration to do what's best, to do what's good. A quiet underlying joy in trying to live our life that way, to do that which is truly good as we best can, knowing that we're not going to do it perfectly. Generosity. It's joyful to be generous. Reverend Master Koten sent out a couple of examples on YouTube of great generosity, and some of you might have seen these. There's a student from Zimbabwe who was in Canada, I think, and lost his passport. He had put it in a bag, and he'd bought a bag, put this passport in there, but then brought the bag back to the shop he got it from and forgot the passport was in there with his visa and everything. And he was completely desperate. Oh, my God, you know. So he sent this message out. I think he put it on the news or something. Help, I've lost my passport. Please help me find it. And some lady had bought the bag. And she just sort of looked in it. She was going to give it to her mum for Christmas. She just happened to look in it. And she found this passport. And she thought, oh. And she got in touch with him. And not only did she give him back his passport, of course, but she also bought his ticket to go back to Zimbabwe to see his family for Christmas, which is what he really wanted. And she was so overjoyed to be able to do this deed. And all the family are joyful, and he's joyful, and everybody's smiling and happy. Because it's this great, generous deed that she did, far more than was just expected. Oh, yes, I find your passport, I'll mail it to you. But to actually do this extra thing, and rejoicing in being able to do this kindness for this young man. So it's a lovely story. And there's another lovely story of a jeweler. A lady comes in with a necklace. It's a kind of a family heirloom. She wants to sell it because she's got no money. And he gives her the money for it. And then he gives her back the necklace. He says, you keep this. And again, it goes viral because people just love stories like this because it touches something in our heart, you know. To hear, they call to something good within us that recognizes this generosity, this joy in giving something to somebody, this kindness. And when we hear about something like this, we feel joy too, because we think, well, maybe things are not so bad. There is goodness in this world. People do really kind things for being there, people they've never met, just out of the blue. And everybody rejoices, actually, when they hear about these things. There's more love and generosity and kindness than we can see, and this brings us joy. So people really respond to things like this. You know, so many of them too, actually. There's lots of stories like this. Gratitude. Gratitude brings us joy. When you practice gratitude, we have to practice it, not just wait for it to fall on us, but to practice gratitude for the things that we often take for granted. When the power goes out for 5 days, you know, we're really glad when we get it back. We hadn't thought of it before, maybe just took it for granted, and now I've got electricity, I can turn on the light, I can, you know, turn on the fridge. Oh, joy. It's a gratitude, which doesn't have to be just when something like that happens, but just for the simple things of life. Some of this, when you go out to hermitages or we're just on our own for a while, you have this great gratitude to the things that help us, you know, the food we eat, the tools we work with, and just things that you normally take for granted when you're quiet. Ah, these things help me. There they are, faithfully helping me with my life, helping me to do what I need to do. Gratitude for the food we eat, to all the people who bring it to us, you know, all these things. All these practices of gratitude are a cultivation of joy, actually. It brings us joy to be grateful rather than just take our life for granted and think we have a right to everything. Really don't. Other ways, many ways to cultivate joy. Compassion and kindness, as I just said. Kindness to other beings. Compassion for beings. You may see the suffering of beings, but there's joy in that connection of being aware of what it's like, or just to do our best to see what it's like to be this person, You know, rather than just say, oh, they're out there somewhere. But again, opening our heart and relinquishing our self-concern to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. What's it like to be this person? Maybe it's really hard, you know. Or just kindness and sympathy. Willingness and wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedly living our life and just doing something. Kitchen cleanup. I love kitchen cleanup. Just wholeheartedly dry the dishes or scrub the surfaces or scrub out a big pot or whatever it might be. With wholeheartedness, these simple little things of daily life, wholeheartedly, it brings us joy. Not just trying to get it done, get out of there and do something nicer. That's dismal. Unjoy. But joy, just living this moment as wholeheartedly as we can with all it brings. Even when it's not much fun, which sometimes it isn't, something horrible is happening, but we can at least maybe look it right in the eye and accept it and do our best with it and not try to turn away from it. Because there's joy in acceptance, in forgiveness, actually, for other beings who may have harmed us or for ourselves who are doing dumb things in the past. There's joy when you relinquish some of those past hurts, you know, past mistakes, regret, remorse. They're unjoy because it's pretty hard to feel joyful when you did something really dumb and you feel like there's nothing I can do about this thing. Oh God, why did I do that? You know, just have to say, well, that's what I did. I did my best. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Now I've got the consequences. Just accept it. It's so much better. It just helps us to put down that burden of what if only I'd done something else, if only I'd done something else, something different. Just to accept things as they are, accept our past choices, and to try to do better now, to try our best now, to set our heart on doing good. Wherever it may lead us, doesn't always seem like the most self-interested thing to do, but in the long run, it's the best. Brings us joy, and it helps us much more than acting from the self. Love for beings. It's not just a personal love for one person for another, there's that part of it, but just a general universal love for beings. Again, that's part of the sympathy and compassion. Just we're all connected, and to see and treat other people from that place of connection, not, well, I don't know who they are, you know, or fear, but just we're all one being, really. And to see people that way, to treat people that way, and love can just grow forth from that. Here's Maitreya, you know, he's the Buddha that is to come, he's joyful, and he's the loving one. His name means the loving one. A practice of the Dharma, the most joyful thing of all, to practice the Dharma brings us joy. Doesn't always feel joyful, sometimes it's really hard, but underneath there's that underlying joy of knowing that we're doing something good with our life. We're on a good path, doing our best to practice goodness, doing good for ourselves as well as good for others. It's not just directed to other beings, because we ourselves benefit greatly, of course, from practicing the Dharma. It helps other beings. It certainly helps us, because we need help too. These beings in Maitreya's litany, a lot of them, they're working on their training. They're finding truth for themselves. They're studying the Dharma. They're not just out there helping other beings. They're also working on their own practice, working on their own meditation, their own study of the way, bringing themselves joy as well as others. And that's important. We don't just go out doing good for other beings and forget about ourselves. We need help too. Help ourselves practice the Dharma. Sitting still in the midst of difficulties, suffering, pain, despair, sadness, all those things, they come up, sometimes in spades when we try to sit still, but to sit still with them as best we can. All those things that cause us suffering, to sit still and let them come and go as best we can. And as we all know, it helps, it works, it's way better than putting it all in the closet until you open the door and it all falls out on us. It's the way to joy. It's the quiet joy of doing the best we can, looking at what we need to look at, not hiding from something. I don't want to see that, you know, that kind of dismalness of when we're worried about something, we don't want to look at it. It gets bigger and bigger, you know. And you turn around and look at it, maybe it's not so bad, you know. It kind of shrinks down to size. Maitreya, the loving one. That little statue, that's my little statue. I love it. It looks just like Reverend Master Jiyu. That's why I brought her picture. You can see the resemblance there, you know. I mean, really, it's uncanny. So, it's Reverend Master's birthday, by the way. She would have been 96. So, if anybody lived with joy, she did. Things were not always easy. Sometimes they'd be really difficult. She had always kicky disciples. Someone was completely clueless, trying to do her best, living in faith, actually. She got this place, started it, did all the things she did, you know. Sometimes things were really hard, really difficult. Sometimes you had to make a very difficult decision and then would, you know, think, oh God, is that the best thing I could have done? You'd go over and over it sometimes if you'd made a decision that really brought us pain. Sometimes you made mistakes. And you took the consequences. But she always tried to help beings. She always tried to do that with what was good. Setting her heart on doing good over and over and over again for all those years. She was not just doing what she wanted. She was trying to do what was good. As she put it, to listen to the Lord of the house, that's how she put it, listen to her Buddha nature, her true heart, and to follow that over and over again. If you read the Kyojo Kaimon with the commentary, you find it on our website if you don't know it. She talks about it a lot. Listen to the Lord of the house. Don't do anything unless you ask that. You know, always check, is this good to do? Is this good to do? Over and over and over again. And this is the deeper meaning of the Buddha's words, to set our heart on doing good over and over again, to listen to our true heart, the Buddha nature. What is good to do here? Not how can I be a good person, but what's good to do here? It's not a self in there. What's good to do here? Even if I'd rather not do it, what's best to do? And to do it, because that's the way to joy. So here's Maitreya, the Buddha that is to come, giving us hope for the future, hope for now. You know, we are the kind of incoming future Buddha because we have this potential within us to live that life of kindness, the loving one, and with joy. Doesn't mean life's always fun and everything is filled with roses, but God, does it help, you know, to practice the Dharma, to help beings and not just think of ourselves. May we do our very best this year to do that which is good over and over and over again, and maybe be filled with joy.